Now, having cleared up, I trust, though I'm not absolutely sure, some of the misunderstandings created by the King James Version, let's go on to consider the nature and activity of demons. What I have to say now, I believe to be true. Part of it is directly supported by Scripture, part of it comes by inference. And I want you to be very clear that if you do not agree with my inferences, that's all right. But I have given a good deal of time and thought to this and studied the Scriptures fairly carefully, and I am fairly well convinced that what I say is correct. Demons are spirits without bodies. You could say, if you want to, disembodied spirits, but that would carry the implication that they once had bodies. Now, I believe they did once have bodies, but that is an assumption or an inference which would have to be dealt with separately. We need to distinguish between angels and demons. As far as I understand it, they're completely distinct, and I would like to give you 3 points in which we can distinguish them. First of all, angels have wings, and they fly. Look in Daniel 9, verse 21. Daniel had a visitation from an angel, the angel Gabriel. And he's incidentally also called a man. And it says there in Daniel 9, 21, "Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." The Bible pictures most of the heavenly beings as having wings. Angels, cherubim, and seraphim are all pictured as having wings and being able to fly. And there are various references in Scripture to their flying. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 12, and you'll see that evil spirits apparently do not fly. And I believe this is correct. Matthew 12, 43. Jesus says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest." There's no suggestion whatever that he has any other means of transportation but walking. Secondly, they have different places of habitation. Angels are at home. They normally inhabit the heavenlies. There's many scriptures to this effect. We'll look at just three. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spirits of wickedness in the heavenlies," where I understand this to refer to Satan's angelic kingdom in the heavenlies. And all the persons there referred to are angelic. In Jude, the 6th verse, and in case anybody has difficulty in locating Jude, it's just the last one before Revelation. Jude 6, the writer says, "The angels which kept not their first estate or their first area of rule, but left their own habitation, God hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness." These angels that left the heavenlies and descended to earth, and I believe scriptures elsewhere make it plain that they came in order to cohabit with human women, are the exception. And because of this act, which was so contrary to God's ordained plan of being, they were confined in a special place, different from all others. But you notice that they left their own habitation, their own appointed dwelling place, which was in the heavenlies. And then in Revelation 12, verses 7 and 8, a passage that describes events still future, as I believe. It says, "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," that's the devil, "and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." Up till that point, their place is in heaven. What happens after that is entirely contrary to the normal plan of God. It's a very brief span of time which Revelation speaks about, when the devil is cast out of the heavenlies and is compelled to take up residence on earth. But this is not the normal. This is the abnormal. Demons, on the other hand, as I understand it, are earthbound. They have no ability to get outside the realm of earth. Thirdly, angels have bodies of their own and do not normally desire to occupy another body. In fact, for an angel, as I understand it, to be inside a human body would be a kind of prison. On the other hand, demons, if they have one conspicuous characteristic, it is this, that they have an intense craving to enter in and dwell in a body, preferably that of a human being, but in the last resort, rather that of a pig, than to be without a body to dwell in. By way of confirmation for this, let's look for a moment in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out." By the phrase, my house, he means the body of the person that he was living in. So we see that he cannot find rest outside of a body. He wanders around until he's able to enter into a body. If possible, he'll go back to the body that he left. If not, he must look for another body. And he regards the body that he dwells in as his house, his dwelling place. The first time I ever had a real dramatic confrontation with a woman in the matter of deliverance, the first evil spirit that I commanded to come out, which was the spirit of hatred, it answered me in a very rebellious and surly voice and said, "I'm not coming out. This is my house. I've lived here 35 years and I'm not coming out." So that Jesus is not using figurative speech at all when he says that the evil spirit says, "I will return into my house." In Mark chapter 5, the incident of the Gadarene demoniac, we see also this intense desire on the part of the evil spirits not to be left without a body. They are pleading with Jesus, and it says in Mark 5 verse 10, "He, the man in whom the evil spirits were, besought him," Jesus, "much, that he would not send them away out of the country." This is a remarkable revelation, really. "Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the demons besought Jesus, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave." They could not bear the thought of being without some sort of a body to dwell in. As I say, preferably they would choose the body of a human being. But rather than be without a body, they would choose a pig or a dog or a monkey or a lion. I believe there are many animals which from time to time are occupied by evil spirits. The reason why they desire to be in a body is that they all have characteristic lusts or evil desires or evil propensities which can only be gratified while they are in a body. For instance, an alcohol demon has to have a body through which to consume alcohol. A blaspheming demon must have a tongue through which to blaspheme. A demon of lust must have the emotions and the organs of a body through which to lust. They cannot fulfill their cravings and desires unless they have a body through which to do it. And as Jesus indicated, they're like people without a home, restless, unable to settle down, without any kind of peace until they find a body to enter into. This brings us face to face with the fact that every one of us is surrounded by unseen hordes of evil spirits who would dearly like to be inside each one of us. We cannot change that situation. The only thing we can do is make very sure they don't get in. But this is part of the total Christian conflict that we're involved in, and the main situation cannot be changed. Jesus, as I've pointed out in my previous study, but I'll say it again, did not cast evil spirits into the pit or into hell. He just caused them to leave the body that they were occupying with the implication that they would be free to enter the next body that they could get into. And as it was then, so it is now.